Hey, New Life Church, welcome back to another great Sunday service online. I just want to say hello to all of our New Life Church members and family that are right now being cautious, staying at home. I just want you to know that Jenny and I, we love you. We think about you all the time as a staff here at New Life Church. We're praying for you. Hope that you are well. And so we welcome you today. Thanks for coming and joining us and worshiping with us in this way. And as always, you can continue to worship with us with your giving. If you haven't already, there's many ways to give at New Life. You can give online at newlifeforkokomo.org, or you can send it in the mail to 1803 East Vail Avenue. You can even text to give. Whatever your mode of giving is, I just want to say thank you for your generosity, helping move the kingdom of God forward in the greater Kokomo area. And so also, I tell you what, if you are watching us today, and if maybe you've been taking a peek and you've been watching in for a little while, we want to know that you're watching. So do me a favor real quick. I want you to take out your cell phone. I want you to text the number CONNECT to 765-347-9127. Tell us that you're watching. Simply, when you text that number, our team will send you a digital form that you can fill out just to let us know that you're watching. We want to make a connection with you. We want to give you some great next steps that you can take with our church in your walk with Christ. And so we welcome everybody today. And so today we are going to be beginning a brand new series. And I'm really, really excited about it. It's called Change Your World. I'm super pumped about this series. This is actually coming right off of our previous series we finished just 2 weeks ago that was called The Third Person. In that series, we talked about the Holy Spirit. And if you didn't get to catch all of those or any of those, I encourage you to go online, newlifeforkokomo.org. You can go to our sermon archive. You can get caught up on that series. It's a powerful series on the Holy Spirit. And the whole idea of that entire series was to empower you, in your walk with God and the mission that God has for our world, to give you power. And this series, Change Your World, is really, I would almost say it's part two of our series, The Third Person on the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to be talking about how to change your world. You changing your world, me changing my world. We all have a different sphere of influence. We all have different worlds that we live in, even though we all live in the greater Kokomo area. And here's what I say. If we all change our world, we can change the world. So if our third person series was to empower you, our Change Your World series is to mobilize you. Amen? And so coming out of our third person series, we had this kind of like a core verse that we were looking at. It's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it simply says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." So again, if our third person series was about empowering you, this series is about you being a witness, about you going and changing your world. That the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we talked about the last several weeks, that it's not just for a type of church. That would be so insignificant. It's really about you being witnesses. It's about the church being empowered to change the world. Come on, I know we got some world changers here at New Life Church. We got some world changers in the kingdom of God, and we've been empowered, and now we are to be witnesses in all of our world to change, come on, the world. So if you're ready to change the world with me, I'm looking forward to you tuning in with us the next several weeks as we go through this new series, Change Your World. And so when we talk about Change Your World, today our first message is simply this, is I'm looking for a church influenza. That's right. I'm looking for church influenza, and which is ironic because right now we're kind of like in this pandemic in the world today. You know, we're all waiting for what we're going to do about COVID-19, coronavirus, and what it's done, and how it's kind of shaking up the whole entire world. Our kids going back to school right now with all of these, and it just looks different, and the world just looks different. We're operating differently, and we're under this worldwide pandemic. But I'm looking for a church influenza. When the Spanish flu and other influenzas, other pandemics have hit the world, it's infectious, it spreads quickly, it's contagious. But I'm looking to change the world. Jesus is looking for his church to change the world. And so we need a church influenza. And here's what I come to know, that the word influenza actually literally means influence. The word influenza comes from this mid-century Italian word and Latin word that literally is translated influence. And here's why. Because when you have something that is so contagious, what do you have? You have influence. You have influence when what you've got is so contagious. To have influence is to have something so contagious that you can sway people to try it or sway people to like it. Now you know what this is like. When you go to a new restaurant and it is awesome, and there's a place where you just get the best burger or the best tenderloin. And here in Indiana, man, people love them some tenderloins, right? When you know the best place to go get your favorite thing, you're never quiet about it. Everybody's always sharing about the best place to go eat. Or when you say you're going to go visit a certain city, somebody may say, oh, you have got to go there. You have got to go here. Because when you become passionate about something you believe in, you are an influencer for that product. There are influencers that are pointing people to restaurants or saying, have you tried this new product? And all the time, I'll get a text message of saying, dude, you've got to try this. And people will even text me a link to go get it on Amazon right then and there. There have been times when I've even read a book that was so influential to me, I become passionate about its contents, and then maybe months later, I meet somebody and we're talking, and what we're talking about resonates with something I read in the book, and I say, hey, what's your address? And right then and there, I will personally purchase the book and Amazon it to their house because I believe in it. And so to have influence is to have something contagious. And I believe that the Spirit of God, the message of Jesus, should be so contagious in His church that there should be an epidemic called a church influenza. Now there should be so we're actually going to pick up right where we left off at the end of our previous series, like we said. Now, Peter, when we talked about Peter, we saw Peter before he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he couldn't even stand for Jesus in front of a little girl, right? And then after Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and given power for the mission, then Peter, he goes out into the marketplace, and he begins to proclaim the message of Jesus to a whole crowd of people. You remember this? In Acts chapter 2, he begins to just give this message, convincing people that Jesus was who he said he was, that he's the Messiah. He forgives sins. He'll change your life. You can be transformed by the love of God. So Peter, he gets done with this big exhortation, convincing people about Jesus, about everything they had experienced. And so we're going to actually pick up right there where we left off in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. It says, when the people heard this, when they heard Peter talking about Jesus, heard him sharing about this message of hope, it says, they were cut to the heart. And Peter's words, it hit them right where it counts. And he said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you remember, weeks and weeks ago in our third-person series, we talked about this very thing. Right here, again, we see the three baptisms of repentance, baptism, and of the Holy Spirit. And so it goes on, and it says, those who accepted the message, his message, and Peter's message, what was it? It was the message of Jesus. So those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So in that day, that is a huge altar call. That's a big membership class for the kingdom of God, amen? That 3,000 people were added to the church that day. Very day. So here's the first thing I want to say to you today is when the church uses its influence, there is an outbreak of lives changed. When you use your influence, and I use my influence, and you use it in your world, and I use it in my world, and you use it in their worlds, we can change the world, and we will see an outbreak outbreak of lives being changed. Because God has given you influence. And here's the thing, church. God wants to grow your church. He wants the church to grow. He wants the church to multiply. Now, I know a lot of people that have told me, that I've met over the years and years of ministry, that say, you know, I really liked being a part of a small church. And I understand what they're saying, that they like community, they like relationships. But listen, as long as heaven and hell is a reality, God wants to multiply the church. God wants lost people to be found. He wants people to be saved, lives to be changed, hope to be found, relationships to be restored. There's a lot of work to do, and when the church uses its influence in all of our worlds, we can see an outbreak of lives being changed. We will see a church-wide influenza of the message of Jesus being so contagious in our world that we will begin to see change in the world. And when I say when the church uses its influence, I'm not talking about this building. I'm not even talking about this message. I'm not talking about New Life Church. When I say when the church uses its influence, man, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you using your influence in your world. I believe that God has placed you in your job, in your school, in your neighborhood, with the friends you have, with the family you have, for a purpose, for a reason, that you can have influence that will lead to lives being changed. Come on, somebody help me preach this. This is about the church being mobilized and influenced in our city, in our Kokomo, and seeing lives changed, hope found, relationships restored. So God has a place for you to be an influencer right where you are, right in your job. And the number one reason why people don't use their influence for the mission of God is fear. People like you, like me, there's times we get timid, afraid, and we're afraid of not being ready to, with boldness, to share the message of Jesus where we go and where we are in our sphere of influences. We're afraid of not knowing enough, that if we were just to invite somebody to church or have a spiritual conversation with somebody, we're afraid that they might ask a question we don't know the answer to. And so that actually becomes a barrier to ever being light in the world, ever being an influence in your realms. And so another thing is that people are afraid that they're not perfect yet. As if you have to reach some level of perfection before you can begin to carry the message of Jesus. This is because people think to themselves, and they've told me this, that if I were to go back to my workplace on Monday morning and begin to share hope, the hope of Jesus with people, they're only going to remember the mistakes that I made on Friday. They're going to remember the mistakes I made maybe earlier in my shift. They're going to remember maybe words I said, things I've done, stories I've told, and they're afraid because they're not perfect, they can't be an influence. But listen, in John chapter 4, Jesus, he stops by and he meets this Samaritan woman at the well. Now, there's a couple interesting things about this story. First of all, it's at noon that this woman comes to the well to retrieve her water for the day, which is very uncommon because all of the women typically would go to the well in the morning. And this is where the women would talk and, you know, probably do their thing, have girl talk. But this particular woman comes at noon, which is a sign that she's already a social outcast. And we find out that she is. Jesus comes and sees this Samaritan woman, asks her for a drink of water. She's surprised that Jesus is even talking to her because there are already some social barriers in their culture that day. One, Jesus was a Jew and she is Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans did not associate. So she's already surprised by this. Two, she is a woman and he is a man. But Jesus crosses all of those barriers in order to get to this woman. Watch what happens. Jesus, he begins to talk to her. He asks her for a water. And he says, hey, and she says, well, how are you going to get it? The well is deep. He says, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink of water. He begins to tell her that he is the Messiah, and he reveals this to her. He also says, you're right. And he tells her that you have had five husbands, and the man you're living with right now, he's not even your husband. And right away she recognizes, you must be a prophet to know this about my life. And Jesus reveals to her that, no, I am the Messiah. So watch her response. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And they came out of the town and made their way toward him. So sometimes, here's what you need to know. This woman at the well, she shows us that number three, that influence, that two, you don't need to have it all together to be an influence for Christ. Once she had this encounter with Jesus, she runs back to town and she says these three words, come and see. And sometimes you just need to tell people, come and see. Come and see what I'm talking about. I may not be able to answer all of your questions, and I may not even have my life all together yet, but come and see a man. Come and see the Messiah. Come and see what I found. And what I found is I found Jesus. I don't have all the answers to your questions, but just come and see. So you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be a Bible college student to be a kingdom influencer at work, at school, at home, with your neighbors. Because when you're patient with a coworker, you're an influencer. When you sit and listen to one's hurts, you're an influencer. When you express the love of God for his people, you're an influencer. When you speak life, you reject gossip, you build others up, and you shine your light, you are an influencer. When you do these things with the mission of God in your heart, when you do these things in Jesus' name, you are an influencer. You're an influencer. You do not have to have it all together to influence people for Christ. You don't. The third thing here is that influence is also a byproduct of intimacy with God. When the Holy Spirit fell in Acts chapter 2, they had been all together, they had been praying, they had been worshiping. Intimacy with God is built up when you have a life of prayer, a lifestyle of worship, and a practice of hiding God's word in your heart. And when you have built up this kind of nearness to God, when I say intimacy with God, I'm really talking about a nearness to God. When you've built up this kind of nearness to God, it's so powerful that it will affect those around you. And God will give you the influence. In Song of Solomon, or in Song of Psalms chapter 6, the bride had just gone in chapter 5, talked in great detail about her adoration for her groom, describing him with such descriptive words, and in this very romantic fashion describes her groom. And then this response in chapter 6, verse 1, is a response of her friends. When her friends hear about her adoration for her groom and hear all of her descriptions and intimate details of this man, they say, which way did your lover turn that we may look for him with you? And of course, we know that this is an illustration of the bride and groom being the church in Jesus Christ. That when your nearness to God and your relationship with God becomes so on fire, so filled up, and so intimate, that it just seeps out of your life, and people can see the love you have for God in your actions. They see the love you have for God in the way you speak of him, and the way you in your character. That even those that hear you talk about it will say, well, which way can I go? I will help you look for him. Because they're so enamored by your influence and with your intimacy and walk with God. And this is why I say, when you allow God to capture your heart, he will give you influence that will attract others. He will give you an influence that will attract others. So why? Why does God care about you being influenced? Even if you're imperfect, why does God care about you being influenced? Well, God loves when his kids love his kids. And also this, God's eyes are more on the world than they are right here watching what we're doing in a church service. Scripture goes on to say that God would leave the 99 sheep that have it all together to go search for the one that's lost. And so that's our mission. That's our call to be an influencer in our world, because there are real lost people, because we know that heaven and hell are a reality. And because it's a reality, God has given us the mission to be influencers. And so allow God to capture your heart, and he will give you influence that will attract others. Let me pray for you this morning. God, I pray for every person that's watching this today. God, I pray that here at New Life Church, that we would be people committed to your mission. God, that you have empowered us, but now, God, I pray you send us to go change our world. I pray, God, that we will be a people of influence, great influence to those around us, that we would be contagious with something on the inside that we could only describe as, come and see a man who knew about my life, rescued my life. He is God. He is the Messiah. God, give us boldness. Give us words to speak, to know that everywhere we go, we are to make a difference in our world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, New Life, thank you so much for joining us today. If you have any prayer requests or would like to know more about who we are, you can text CONNECT to 765-347-9127. And if you'd like to continue your worship through giving, you can give online at newlifeforkokomo.org/give. You can send it through the mail, or you can text the word New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Thank you so much. We are praying for you, and we hope you have a fantastic week.